You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
It is 8 minutes past four right here on The Drive Zone, and it is a time for us to chat to Odette Butcher. And today she's going to be speaking to us about how to deal with online fraud and how to identify it. But before we talk to her, this.
You can do a lot in one day. Travel to the other side of the world, write a short story, or even start your own online business. Save time, save money, and get your products online now. From $4,999 per e-commerce website, you will receive everything you need to start selling online, delivered in 24 hours. No experience needed. Just leave it up to Odette Butcher, the e-commerce coach for buyonlineshops.co. Google certified with over 1,800 stellar reviews. Forget the hassle and start your side hustle today. Visit buyonlineshops.co or contact 084-811-9163 to get started.
And in the studio with me is the said Odette Butcher. Hello, Odette. How are you?
I'm good, and you, Richard, on this sunny summer day?
It's nice weather.
I know.
Yeah. It's good weather for running.
Good weather for running.
Yes. Not that I would.
But I would. I know. In your place.
Yeah, because if you don't run, you hit people.
Who told you that?
I've heard rumors. How are you?
I'm good. And you?
I won't die.
You won't die.
Yes.
You're with us today.
I'm with you today. Tomorrow's another day. But for now, I'm focused on online fraud. What's this all about? First of all, there are two elements to this. One is how to identify it, and second, how to deal with it. So you're going to go through all of this because you're clever with these things, aren't you?
Well, I think there's a lot of information out there for online shoppers.
Mm.
Everyone always thinks that they, as an online shopper, is going to be scammed.
Mm.
But us, as online business people, we get scammed as well. And there's very little information out there for us to learn so that we can protect ourselves. So I think really it's about knowing that there are certain items that are more likely to be bought fraudulently. This will include electronics, gadgets, watches, perfumes, and luxury items. These can be easily resold. I also had a really large solar panel. I think it was some sort of charger that was bought off of my site. That was $25,000, and that was bought fraudulently with a proof of payment. We can chat more about that later, because it's not only the credit card fraud, there's also the EFT proof of payment fraud as well. So basically, my message would be that if the transaction looks too good to be true, it probably is. You just get a feeling. You're like, wow, that is a lot of money going through the platform, maybe once or maybe over and over again. It's like they test it, you know. They'll do like 200 rand a couple of times, and then it'll be 2,000, 5,000, 10,000. You know, that is an indicator that it's fraud. Or actually remember sitting on my laptop and about four or five 20,000 rand transactions went through the dashboard. I was just watching it happen in front of my eyes. So if the transaction is too good to be true, it probably is. And it's really important to not get tempted to release goods when you see those transactions. We need to be authenticating people first, because we need to understand that a first-time user on your platform is likely to call you first to just authenticate you. So why would they be putting through a credit card transaction of such high amounts without authenticating you first? So it's important to see if there's multiple amounts of the same item being bought simultaneously, like five bottles of perfume or three of the same watches. That's also just really odd. You wouldn't do that under normal circumstances. Look at the person's name and surname. It needs to be like a full, proper name and surname, and not gobbledygook. You know what I mean? I mean, if it's a French name, it's a French name. If it's a German name, it's a German name. But it needs to look like an authentic name and surname. The email address is also quite important. You'll just get a feel for if the email address looks spammy, and definitely a legitimate delivery address. To note that here in SA, some postal codes are actually blacklisted. So couriers will not even deliver to specific postal codes, because that is how much fraud has come from that specific area.
Interesting.
And try to insist, like, never deliver items to just a random location. Preferably you want a business address, but now obviously with COVID and the pandemic, a lot more people are working from home. But do try and do a couple, you know, Google Map searches to see where you're delivering items. If you have any feeling whatsoever that it could be a dodgy transaction, don't underestimate an online fraudster. They can be very smooth and extremely professional with their tactics. Never, ever release goods until the funds have cleared into your business account, ever. Even proof of payments can be fraudulent and put together by experts who trick you into releasing goods before the money hits your account. I myself, like I was saying earlier, I had a 25,000 Rand proof of payment, a VAT number, business registration number, super smooth, like perfect English grammar, everything. And by accident, there was a misunderstanding between myself and the supplier, and they released the goods. I was actually just checking availability if the stock was an item, and they released it anyway. And I was waiting for the funds to clear, and they never, ever cleared, and I never got the item back either. And I mean, the proof of payment was perfect. Absolute perfection. So don't even trust a proof of payment. These are a couple of tips on how to deal with a potential fraudulent transaction. And I think there's that sort of intuition, that gut feel that this just doesn't feel right, but also that reservation that we would never want to be questioning a customer. And I think we need to get over that, because as business people, we also have, we are within our rights, like right of omission reserved. We are also within our rights to say, you know, this money doesn't look right. If someone was to pass you money over the counter and it doesn't look right, we should find the confidence to say, I'm sorry, this is an unacceptable transaction. It's how we present the information. So what merchants don't know, usually until it happens to them, is that if online fraud takes place on your site and is not reversed by yourself, okay, the bank can reverse the funds out of your account at any time once the card is cancelled. So they are mandated to do that because of the paperwork that you sign when you get your e-commerce portal. So be vigilant and politely investigate all odd-looking transactions until you are satisfied that the transaction is legitimate. The reason why banks are mandated to reverse the transaction is because as merchants, we are responsible to request the necessary identification or signature at time of payment. We all know that this is not the case when transactions are going through the e-commerce platform because there isn't a person in front of us. Again, there's a lot of education out there to assist online shoppers from being scammed, but what about online shopkeepers? If you think a transaction could be fraudulent, do not release any goods even though the funds may be in your account. Tempting, but don't do it until you've validated the customer. These are a couple of ideas on how you could approach a potentially fraudulent transaction. Email or call the customer and politely say that the bank has requested full authentication for the specific transaction in question. People who've bought something from your site and who are legitimate and really want it will be taking your calls and be responding to you because they want those goods released. So that already is an indicator, if someone's avoiding you, that maybe the transaction really is fraudulent. Ask the customer or email them to request a scanned copy of the front and back of their credit card, as well as a copy of their ID book or card or passport and signature. Note that the credit card must be in their name and not someone else's. And on our side, we actually have standard email templates set up for this specific type of scenario. So if you do have e-commerce transactions going through your online platform, think about maybe putting a standard email together that you could have on hand if something similar happens. You may also like to do a few searches to see if you can validate the person using Google, LinkedIn, Facebook, or Instagram. Just go and maybe try to social proof the name and surname or the email address, because that will often return a social media platform. You could also do a search to see where the package will be delivered and what type of place and location the package will be delivered to see how you feel about that. If the customer or fraudster is sketchy and avoids you in any way, know the transaction is likely to be fraud. Customers who are legitimate really want their items and will get back to you ASAP. Ensure that your payment processor has all the necessary layers of security to include OTP, which is one-time PIN, and 3D Secure. This is mandated by South African banks. This makes your online shopping process as safe as possible for both you, the merchant, and your customer. So those are just some ideas on how to identify if a transaction is fraud and also what you can do if you feel you need to authenticate it. And it's probably important just to know again what items are most likely to be bought fraudulently, and that would be electronics, gadgets, watches, perfumes, and luxury items, jewelry, accessories, trainers, that type of thing.
I'm sitting listening to what you've got to say, and all of it makes sense. But my question is this, that if you have a website that you are selling high-ticket items and things like a ring or upmarket watch or something like that, you're not going to be doing those in high volume.
No.
So it's easy to monitor. But what happens if you are doing things that are not high value, but you're doing high volume? Are there any systems that allow you to, because that can become quite time consuming if you're going to check every and validate every transaction? Or do you just say, okay, look, a percentage of my sales are going to be fraudulent and I just have to work that into my costing and go with it and say, okay, look, 5% of the sales that I make are going to be from dodgy customers? How do you approach that? Because those high volume transactions are the one that concern me.
I mean, I just suppose it's about training the people who are processing the orders, just to have certain things that they're, it's almost like a quality control of how a transaction should look. And if high volume transactions are going through, that's a lot of money. I would have someone, the people who are responsible for processing the orders, I would have them properly trained to be able to identify fraud so that at least they are a gatekeeper.
Mm.
Look, things will fall through the nets.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah.
Also, like I said, if your online payment processor is locked down enough, I mean, I even asked the bank to please remove 3D Secure from my payment portal because we have a lot of international customers that really struggle to put their credit cards through because the credit card has to be registered for 3D Secure.
Mm.
So they are legitimate customers that cannot make payment online because our process is too locked down. And the bank said, I'm sorry, but Africa as a continent has so much online fraud.
Mm.
And that's why the 3D Secure is on there, to protect the banks, the customers, and the merchants.
How are those people playing, the ones that can't work through the 3D Secure system?
Well, we would send them maybe a PayPal link.
Mm.
So that's usually how we do it. It's quite important to have multiple options at checkout for people to use in order to process payment. And PayPal is definitely one of them.
All right, and you mentioned earlier on that the money can go into your account and then it can be removed by the bank.
Absolutely.
I got a bit confused there. So I pay for something, I buy something from you, XYZ item, and I process it. You see it go into your bank account. You then release goods, dispatch to me, and at some point I can reverse that transaction. Is that what you're saying?
If you are dodgy and sketchy, because you look a bit dodgy sometimes.
Oh, you couldn't wait to say that.
So Richard is dodgy and sketchy, committing fraud online, okay, with a credit card that is not yours.
Mm.
You buy goods from my shop. I release them to you.
Mm.
Judy, who is amazing and angelic, reports her credit card has been stolen
mm-hmm.
by Sketchy Richard.
Okay. Oh, you're loving this. Hey, you're loving
exactly.
this.
So as she announces that the credit card has been stolen, it's then cancelled.
Okay.
And then the bank follows its normal process, you know, of processing everything. And then it goes, ooh, these goods were bought on this credit card two months ago or a month ago, a week ago, a day ago. And they will reverse it out.
But in the meantime, the goods are sitting with Sketchy Richard.
Exactly.
Who's not worried about a credit card being cancelled or anything like
exactly.
that. Just using it for a one-time transaction.
And every e-commerce merchant who has a payment portal, a payment processor, a payment gateway, that's what it's referred to as, signs when you get that set up. You sign that you will authenticate all of the transactions, which we know we cannot do because it's not in person. And that if fraud is committed and you don't have the supporting paperwork to authenticate that transaction, that person, it will be reversed out of your account.
All right. What about the other way around? The other way around, because I was chatting to my friend down the Paintsmith, Mark, and the other day he put an online order and ordered something online. And we were talking about it. It was a couple of days after the event, a day or two after the event. And he said, you know, I'd have thought that I would have got something, you know, response from these guys as to I've paid for everything. It's all gone through. It's gone off my account, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm, you know, phoning these out. There's no answer. Turns out it was legitimate and, you know, the goods did arrive. But very often that is going to be the case. You're going to you're going to go online. You're going to see, oh, there's a nice pair of shoes. I like that. I'm going to pay for those. You go through the process. Goods never arrive. How do you deal with that? And how do you What are the identifiers we look for in terms of fraudulent stores?
Yes, well, like I say, you know, there's a lot of information out there for the consumer to prevent themselves. That's why I said if someone is using an online shop for the first time, they're going to phone you if it's a lot of money that they want to put through the platform.
So they're going to be wanting to authenticate you as the merchant.
Generally speaking, yes. Yeah. Look, with Celestial Gifts, it's a silly business to actually have as an e-commerce business model because it's so expensive, the experiences, or so they have become over the years. Let's say a flight, a romantic helicopter flight for two, is you're looking at 10,000 Rand. Yes, people are putting that through their credit cards, but they've probably dealt with me before. So a repeat customer will put something like that on their credit card. But generally speaking, they're going to chat to me on WhatsApp, which is what we were saying, using WhatsApp for Business as a business tool, as a sales tool. They will definitely call me or send an email. They feel insecure about parting with that type of money with a first-time sort of platform. So they will definitely try to authenticate you. And they will go and look at reviews. That's why reviews are so important. They'll go see... Customers believe other customers. They don't believe you, the merchant. So they will go to see if you have a strong online presence and what other people think about you.
So what you're saying is you're suggesting that if I've been dealing with Celestial Gifts for a while, I should be cool with that. I know you are. I know what you serve.
Yes.
I know that my product or experience can be delivered. That's cool. But if I'm going along to another website that is selling computer keyboards.
Yeah.
Okay. And I've never dealt with these people before. It's in my best interest to actually pick up the phone because if there's a telephone number, phone them and say, hi, I'm about to place an online order. Is it, you know, find out a little bit more about it.
Yeah, just get a feel for them.
And maybe ask for a reference. Nothing's foolproof. But generally, the customer, the merchant that is on the level is going to be willing to give you the information and say, look, you know, our store is here and this and that and the next thing. Whereas one who is just got a website and no stock, that person's going to be a little bit more inclined to try and not give that information.
Yeah, I mean, I think scams have been around for years. But I think as merchants, we can no longer hide behind our online shops and not be available or present. Because when I started in 2005, it was very much like, have this business online and it's just going to print money while you sleep and you can sip pina coladas around the pool and everything's going to be done for you. I think that era is over because consumers are demanding to know and be able to connect and reach out to the people behind the business. I mean, I even had a situation where it was some sort of Canadian, it was a Canadian service that I needed for passports.
Mm.
Can't remember what it was for, but I did. I stupidly processed this transaction online. It was actually during lockdown.
Mm.
And then I got no delivery, you know, no email, no nothing. And I thought, I can't believe I've been doing this for so long and I didn't think to authenticate this company. Mm. And then I went and found all of these terrible reviews and that they were scams.
Mm.
It was a scam. And I went to FNB and they did actually reverse the transaction. I had to fill out a form.
Mm.
They would have probably gone to do their own research and they did reverse the transaction. But it was more like a service, you know, it was more like a form or a service issue. It wasn't actually a product that I had bought.
Mm.
But I thought that was interesting that even still, after all of these years, I didn't go and do my research before I parted with money, and it was a scam.
So what you're saying in summary is if you're a consumer, make sure you do your homework before you part with money. If,
yes.
If you're a merchant, make sure that you do your homework before you part with goods or services.
Yes.
And that way we can be sure that nobody's going to get caught.
Yeah, and I think don't let these issues prevent you from shopping online or being a business person starting your own e-commerce business online. It's just about knowledge is power and just having that information on hand and doing a little bit of homework before you accept money or accept a transaction or likewise parting with your credit card. But I think nowadays we're getting a lot more wise on both sides of the table.
Yeah, and I think we need to get wise, and we're going to need to get wiser still, because this is like anything else. This is like coronavirus. The minute we get the one bit of it under control, then something else pops its head up and makes, you know.
Well, like that proof of payment.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, this is a legitimate proof of payment. And guess what? The funds just never cleared the next day. Nor the next day, nor the next day. And the item had already been dispatched because the supplier was so keen to make that sale.
Mm. And you ended up carrying the can.
25,000.
Is that what they call phishing? Or is that something different?
That wasn't phishing, no. I think phishing is when they steal identification. They almost like get into your email addresses and they send invoice, they intercept. I think phishing is when they intercept emails and then turn it into yours, something like that.
Possibly. All right. Well, it's folks, heads up on that. I think that this is valuable information. It is stuff that we need to understand, and we cannot any longer look at the world through eyes that say, I'm really not into the online thing. Yeah, sure, there are going to be those who only want to go to brick and mortar. And
sure.
And you can't change that. But the younger generation, they gung-ho about this. And they're the ones that are going to get caught if they're not heads up.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, for argument's sake, I really get very, very nervous when I'm about to process an online transaction. Very scared. I'm like, am I doing the right thing here? Am I? And in all cases, I have not, you know, had any problems, but I've only processed online probably 10 times in my life.
Wow.
Okay. But there are other people who have done that a whole lot more. We need to be heads up about this.
I think this is why people are using trusted brands like Takealot,
yeah.
Amazon, Superbalist. You know, they're more likely to be using those big brands because they absolutely know that they are authentic and legitimate.
Mm.
But we also need to give the smaller, more
Correct.
Niche
Correct.
Online businesses also a chance and enjoy their personal service.
Mm. And the fact that it's online just means that the transaction and the interaction is not face-to-face over a counter. But it doesn't mean to say that the transaction and interaction doesn't need to happen either by telephone, by email,
yes.
by whatever the case may be. So it's not just if we are sitting there saying, okay, click and buy without doing any homework. If you get caught and vice versa.
Yes, that's right.
Carry the can for lack of understanding.
Yes.
And that's the point I want to bring up right now, because the lady sitting in front of me can coach you on these things.
Yes.
She can run courses, teach you as a business that is trying to go online, and this is part of what these discussions are about, to get the basics in place. And this is certainly one of them, if not the most basic.
How not to lose money, basically. How to plug the holes.
Okay. And you can speak to her about that. In fact, she has we just played the ad earlier on. She has a system where she can put that website in place with all of those things already in it, those checks and balances in it. And she can do that for not a lot of money and the coaching that goes with that. So give her a call. Her number is 084-811-9163. Her name is Odette Butcher. She's a guru when it comes to these things, and she can help you. She can help you. And I'll give you that number again, 084-811-9163. That's how you get hold of her on WhatsApp for Business. That's your WhatsApp for Business.
Yes.
Also, same number.
Yes, it is.
All of that stuff. Give her a call, ask her the questions, and she will certainly help. Rather that than end up, for some people, 500-600 Rand ripoff.
Of course.
It's a lot of money.
It all adds up.
It all adds up. So do that. Odette, as always, thank you for your time.
Thanks, Richard.
And sharing your expertise. We really do appreciate it.
Pleasure.
And I'm looking forward to 2 weeks' time and what you bring us then.
I don't know. It's going to be a secret. I'll have to go away and find it.
Are you going to get a secret? Go for a run and think about it.
I will. I'll think about it on my run.
Do you think on your chappies?
All the time. I have my biggest moments while I'm running.
Oh, boy.
Like where I'm going to run next.
Yeah, up the Himalayas. Or where was it? What, through the Bundu?
Everest.
Everest. Are you going to run Everest?
No, I was thinking about the Amazon jungle or maybe a desert crossing.
Odette, you're nuts. All right. We love a lot. Check her out. That number again, 084-811-9163.
Thanks, Richard.
And she will help you.